Chase Willey and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, 11 o'clock hour. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. David Poyle coming up in about 15 minutes. Looking forward to our first conversation with the Predators general manager. We got it on the TV in here, and Dak Prescott on the practice field, looks like, for the Cowboys. And I guess Jerry Jones did. He goes on. It's like David Poyle.
Was Jerry Jones out there watching him?
Probably.
Yeah. Dr. Jones.
Dr. Jones.
Dr. Jerry Jones,
Dr.
MD.
Dr. Jones. Indiana Jerry.
Jones?
But, yeah, it looks like there's a potential Dak could be back Sunday against the Eagles, a huge matchup between the Cowboys and the Eagles. But I read saw a cool article, and Willie, somebody sent this to us. But Michael Gallagher from the Nashville Post wrote this, and it says, Tomasino's demotion, a case of reading between the lines. And basically the premise of it is, it's more about what Kiefer Sherwood did right as opposed to what Tomasino did wrong. And if you look at some of the underlying numbers with Tomasino, who had a fine rookie season with 11 goals, 32 points last year. He played in 76 of the 82 games. And some people have been scratching their heads of, well, why is he starting the year in Milwaukee? If you look at one thing in particular, he averaged about 11 minutes a game, a little over 11 minutes a game. That's not a lot. That's fourth line minutes. That's what that is. And so I look at it as he's not ready to be a second line winger like they had hoped he would be. Now he can go to Milwaukee, play those top line minutes, get his confidence back, and then grow into that role and then come back. I don't think he's going to be in Milwaukee very long, but that's how I look at it.
Let me ask a question with that.
Go ahead.
Because I don't quite understand, like, in my world, if you're not able to be a starter, then you're a backup. You know, it's not like, okay, you can't be a starter, but now you're on the third team. It's your backup. You're on the second team. You're good enough, but you're not good enough to be a starter. Why is it that, you know, okay, if Tomasino isn't good enough for the second line, then why not the third? You know, yeah. Why not? That's the problem. And I truly don't understand that.
And I do think that is what they basically did last year.
Okay.
Is they let him play on the fourth line, which is less responsibility. What they call sheltered, right? You can put him out there against lesser competition, especially at home. You can put him in better situations. There's a little less responsibility. And I think they really want him to graduate up to top six. They see him as a future top six. And I think they hoped. They came into camp thinking, we've left this spot open for him to go win the job.
Yeah.
And he just didn't do it. And remember, this was a very short period of time. Camp was shorter because they had to prepare the roster to go to Bern. They had two regular season games before anybody else in the league did. And so they had to make quick decisions. And for whatever reason, and I shouldn't say for whatever reason, I think they looked at the practices and they determined he's not ready to take on the full responsibility. It's more minutes. Mm-hmm. It's against tougher competition. It's on a line that is expected to produce. And he didn't jump up and grab the role. Now, all of this could change in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It also could take months.
Sure.
But remember, he's only 21 years of age. And I think that sometimes gets a little bit lost in the shuffle here. And it's unfortunate because there are a few guys who are ready to excel in the league when they're 18, 19, 20. It does happen sometimes, but for others, it does take a little bit longer. And so they just think this is the best thing for him at this time. I don't know how long Kiefer Sherwood will hold this job. What happened in the middle of the second game is they moved Elli Tolvanen up there because Tolvanen had a little hot hand. He was playing well. That's another guy that they haven't given up on. He's kind of sitting there. Nobody was talking about him. Everybody was focused on Tomasino. Tolvanen's off to a good start. We'll see if that sticks. They've left that spot open for somebody to jump up and grab it. I said this before camp started. I think you're going to see multiple guys in that role before something settles in. I hope by the end of the year that something does settle in.
Well,
and I do think someday it will be Tomasino, but they think the best path for him to get there now is to go to Milwaukee, play big minutes on the first line, play power play,
yep,
have a lot of responsibility. Because remember, it's not just can you put the puck in the net. He can make a play. You saw it last year. He made plays on the fourth line. But how do you help a team win when you're on the second line? You got to play defense. You got to win battles in the corner. You got to have all responsibilities down with the coverages. You know what I mean? You got to be able to do it against top-level defensemen, night in and night out, week in, week out. And he's very young. They didn't feel like he was ready for that just yet. They want to get him there. And the best path, they feel, is through Milwaukee right now.
To further answer your question, Derek, the other, and I use the word problem, but it's not a problem. It's a good thing to have, is they have a third line that they're not going to touch.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's the perfect third line for them.
The Herd has had chemistry for 2.5 years now, and it works. And so it's like you don't want to touch it if it continues to work. And so I think they look at, they know that Tomasino is not a fourth line player, that he's supposed to be top six. Do you want to keep him playing 11 minutes a night on the fourth line where he's not doing the things that he has potential to do? Or do you want to give him the opportunity to go to Milwaukee where he can be a top line guy and develop his skill more? So,
I
don't view it as a demotion. I view it as, even though technically that's what
it is. It's a demotion, man.
Well
it's
a demotion.
But it's merit-based. If you look at Michael's article.
It's a demotion. It's a calculated demotion.
Yeah, okay.
It's trying to light a fire.
Exactly, absolutely.
And what Michael pointed out in the article, which I think is important, he did start the preseason on that line.
Yep.
They put him out there with Nino Niederreiter and Ryan Johansson, and he didn't have a really good game. The line as a whole didn't have a really good game. And then they put Sherwood in there, and the chemistry looked really good. And so you got to give Sherwood credit so far. Now, but let's be honest. We've seen guys. This happens in all sports. Baseball for sure. A guy wins the job. He's hot right now. He's playing well right now. Sherwood rewarded the coaching staff. He goes right in there and scores on the first shot of the year. Right?
Right.
That doesn't mean that he won't level off after a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then Tomasino hopefully is playing well in Milwaukee, earns the chance to come up, and then boom. There's plenty of guys. Look,
Tolvanen could run away with it.
But,
you never know.
Think of a Braves player, right, who comes up. It was Dansby Swanson who light it up for the first time. You know, there's sometimes you got to come up and down a couple times.
Ian Anderson is one that I think is kind of that right now. Like, he had a really good year last year. He struggled this year.
But Tomasino has never been he's still very young. How much did he really play on the second line last year?
Didn't.
Rarely. I mean, he got a couple of opportunities.
It
just didn't stick. So he had a good year on the fourth line. Mm-hmm. So
I'm just saying, I my message and yours as well, I believe, to Preds fans is don't freak out because he didn't make the team.
And some people are freaking out, but you do have to reward the people who go up and otherwise you can't have a true training camp if there's no competition for spots. You have to earn it. And so, well, it'll be interesting. We'll get David Poile's perspective on it here next segment.
Coming up next, Predators general manager David Poile will join the show here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 125-106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 125-106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And we say hello for the first time this year to Predators general manager David Poile. Well, it's the first time on radio. We've seen him a few times. David, how you doing?
Everything is good. We just got back from Europe, as you know, on Sunday. Had a day off yesterday, and the boys are on the ice as we speak. So just getting ready for Thursday's home opener against Dallas. So all good.
Let's start with the trip to Europe. Obviously, you came back with 4 points and are atop the league, so congratulations for getting those two wins. But what was the whole experience like for you to be able to take your team overseas and see Bern in Prague?
It was fabulous. And, of course, winning the two games was very helpful to make that fabulous, if you will. But the Bern experience, Roman Josi's home city, was extraordinary. I mean, just you know, seeing him walk in the streets of Bern, people recognizing him, and how you know, his story, if you will, from being growing up there to practicing playing at the rink that we played in, to have all his family there, his grandmothers who've never seen him play in Nashville because they haven't been able to travel, to the 9,000 fans that are all standing like in a soccer match that arrived and were waiting for the players to go on the ice 40 minutes before the warm-up. It was just a great, great experience for sure. I love Bern. I've been there a couple of times on other hockey trips, and again, I'd highly recommend that for a city to go for anybody. And then Prague, which is a major city, obviously, in Europe, is just great. All the European major cities, in my opinion, are excellent because they're all walking cities, and you get to see so much, you get to interact so much in their color. And I know culture. I know the players just had a great time, and as I said, not only on the ice but off the ice. I think it was a really good experience. I think, you know, when we approach this, you know, you're trying to grow hockey everywhere, and also selfishly, I think you're looking for opportunities for team bonding experiences, and I think this has put our team in a real good position, and I think everybody got to know each other, you know, much better than you would normally do in a normal training camp. So to me, there was no negatives on this trip at all. Really, really happy that we participated, and I'm happy where our club is because of it.
The regular season has officially started for you, but the home opener will be on Thursday, and a lot's been made about your off season. You were busy. You added a couple of different pieces, and I go back to your end of season press conference when you and Coach John Hines sat at the podium, and you were both very passionate about where you wanted this team to go, and you said, I want to give him the tools to be successful. So with the tweaks that you've made, not only in this offseason, but since he got here and took over as head coach, do you feel like that you have gotten this to be where it is his team, his type of players, that he can truly show what he can do as a head coach now?
Yeah, I do. I think we and he have come a long way from when he took over from Peter Laviolette over 3 years ago now. Just, you know, the team was a good team, but you know, we had some, my words would be a little bit of an underperforming situation in certain areas, and we needed to make a couple of changes. And I think over the past two seasons, we've done that. I think his relationships with the players are terrific. I think his messaging and how we want to play has been bang on, and we all saw that last year when not too many people gave us much of a chance to, you know, be a competitive team, and I think we've just grown from there. We had, you know, together we had goals for our staff and hockey ops, and I think we identified what we wanted to do, and for the most part, I think we've been successful there. We, you know, we changed our second goalie to Kevin Lankinen, and we're happy with him, and he got his first win against San Jose in Prague. On defense, we were very fortunate that, you know, Tampa Bay had some issues in terms of their salary cap, and that we were able to get Ryan McGinnon. That was on your wish list, but to actually get a top four defenseman and not pay, you know, too high of a price, I think that's really changed our team in a huge way. And then, of course, we were looking to improve our scoring, and specifically on our second line. And, you know, Nita Ryder was there and available to us, and we got that done, and everybody knows he's Roman Josi, he's one of his best friends. We know that Joey and he played hockey together in junior hockey, and after two games, he's got three goals. So what a great start there. And I guess the fourth thing, we really felt we didn't have as much depth as you need to be successful in National Hockey League. It's 82 games at the playoffs. I mean, we're trying to have that belief that we're going to be a playoff team and that we're going to play like 100 games this year at least. And, you know, picking up players like Kiefer Sherwood, which is really good scouting on our part in terms of a player that mostly has been in the minor leagues, but, you know, in his first game, he gets a goal and assist. Cole Smith is a free agent we signed a couple of years ago. He's 6'4", and he's big. His game seems to be more rounded now. He's very aggressive. He's killing penalties for us. So a lot of those good things, you know, happened. Cody Glass, after having him for a year, seems to be playing the best hockey he's played in his professional career. So right now, a lot of things to be positive about for the Predators.
David Poile, Predators general manager, is our guest here on Chase Willie and D-Mace. And, you know, you mentioned the second line. Philip Tomasino was one of those guys that, you know, had been penciled in, was given an opportunity. Now he's going to go to Milwaukee to get a little more seasoning. What went into that roster move of going ahead and saying, hey, let's start the season in Milwaukee, give you a little time to get better, to work on your skills so he can come back and be that top six that you believe he can be?
Well, I want to say the same thing you said. We certainly believe that he's a top six forward. You know, we saw glimpses of that last year. We put him in position as a young player to play on our team, mostly on the fourth line. He got a little bit of power play time. He got a little bit of time moving up in the lineup. This year we had hoped that he would be ready to take on a more of a prime time role, but it just didn't work out that way. I would think that if I'm looking at our forward prospects, you know, Philip is right there at the top as being, you know, one of our best guys, and we need him to develop. And I don't think, well, I know this, we just didn't have the opportunity to put him in the lineup at a high place right now based on how other players were playing, and a little bit you have to take responsibility for how he was playing. The training camp was so short. We talked about to our players about this at the beginning. It was not fair. We didn't give everybody a lot of opportunities. And so, again, try to make our decisions on merit, and you try to, you know, work with every player. But I really feel in the long run, when we look back at this, if Phil gets down there, he's going to play top minutes in Milwaukee, to play power play, I'm assuming strongly that he's going to be very productive, and we're going to need him. I mean, I've never had a year here where we, you know, didn't have anything, you know, go wrong in terms of injuries, good play, bad play, all those situations. So let's hope he gets down there and gets really going, what have you. And again, I'm sure there's going to be an opportunity. I'm sure there's going to be changes. But, I mean, if we're going to be successful, we need Phil Tomasino to be a top six forward.
We talk with Preds GM David Poile. They got a game coming up. First home game coming up this Thursday against the Dallas Stars. Now, the acquisitions that you made, David, in the offseason will ultimately be judged at the end of the season and so forth. But as a GM and a coaching staff, you have to be excited about what you've seen from the guys that you have brought in. You know, Nino Niederreiter. Did I pronounce it?
Niederreiter,
yeah. Excuse me. You mentioned he has three goals in two games. So as a GM, you have to be happy about the start he's had.
You know, absolutely. You know, you're looking to, last year was a good season of, I'd say, everybody finding their identity, playing their role. Our best players were our best players, but we were still a little short, and that was certainly brought to a head in the playoffs when we played the Stanley Cup champs in the first round, the Colorado Avalanche. And so we knew we needed to get better. And like I said earlier, I think we've improved our goaltending. I think we've improved our defense with McDonough and with forwards, with, you know, some changes with Niederreiter, Sherwood, Glass, Smith, Banford. I think we've, you know, not only improved, but we have better depth. So it's still competitive, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, like to say, you got to earn your stripes every day. Sherwood gets a goal and an assist in the first game, playing on the second line. By halfway through the second game, he's on the fourth line, and Tolvin is up there on the second line with Niederreiter and Johansson. So we don't want anybody to take anything for granted. We don't want anybody to get too comfortable. And then we got some backside pressure here with what we just talked about, with Tomasino now being down in the minors, a Parsonen, who is arguably one of our better players at training camp, and John Leonard was another free agent we signed. I really believe that he's going to get some games here this year. Jankowski cleared waiver, so we got a lot of depth, and it's, you know, I think it allows us to make changes when and if we need to make them.
Talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. And David, you mentioned some of the guys that, you know, I'm sure Scotty Nichols' knowledge of the AHL helped a lot to bring in that crop. I want to ask you specifically about Sherwood and how you, as a GM, in a relatively short period of time, feel somewhat confident that he is going to be able not just to have a good couple of weeks, but maybe in this place for this team, be a guy that contributes long term. How tough is that sometimes?
Well, I think in scouting, I mean, like Sherwood is, I think he's 27 years of age, so, you know, he's been around a little bit, so you get to see him play and, you know, have some knowledge of what I think his strengths and weaknesses are, as obviously do Scott Nichol, our pro scouts, Jeff Kelty. It all goes into factoring in these situations. One of the things I think could happen with Sherwood is that he's playing like top minutes in the AHL power play and a goal scorer and all of these things. When he gets called up to the NHL, he's playing like on the fourth line, and I think he, you know, maybe it didn't fit him, it didn't accept it correctly or what have you. One of the things that we've told him is that whatever you're presented with every day, you've got to adapt to that. So again, the first game he gets put with Johansson and Niederreiter on the second line, and he scores. It didn't go so well for him in the second game, and he's down in the fourth line. He's got to adjust, because the fourth line, the minutes, the role is different than the second line. And if he can do that, he's got enough going for him in terms of his talent, his skating, and his ability to move up and down in the lineup. And that, what I just said there, that ability to move up and down the lineup is a very valuable asset. A lot of times when we call up a player from Milwaukee, he can only play as high as the fourth line, for example. Here we've seen in two games where Sherwood has played in the second line and scored, and he's played in the fourth line. So that versatility should help him, you know, hopefully stay in the NHL and to find some kind of a niche here with the Predators.
You mentioned how quick the training camp has been. We haven't seen as much of Zach Sanford. There hasn't been as many games. He hasn't been able to get into the three games that were in Europe. So how do you evaluate what you've seen from him so far?
Well, that's a good point, and it's a problem. Again, the training camp was not very fair in terms of giving a lot of guys opportunities, and you know, first impressions and first days were really important. We played scrimmages, which, you know, traditionally you wouldn't put as much emphasis on or evaluation on, but we did. And certain players got bumped down a little bit or lost their spot or position. And Sanford right now is on the outside looking in. So he's going to just have to keep working hard and just to see what happens. He's been an NHLer for the last 4 years. He's a big man. He has scored some goals. He can kill penalties. He's got a good stick to play defensively. So, again, I want to look at it right now as a little bit of a positive, is that we have a really good depth, and when we need or the coaches want to make a change, he's available to us, and we got to find out more about what he can provide for the Predators.
How tough was it to decide that it was time to have another option as the backup? Kevin Lankinen has looked like a very good fit. It looks like Pekka-Rinne, UC Saros, that was a big part of the relationship, and he looks very comfortable so far. But you had to decide you wanted to go there. So how tough was that to go to a Connor Ingram or you know, for Connor Ingram to see they're bringing another guy in? Because Connor Ingram, you've done a lot of investing in. There's been some good development there. It's been a good story, but you had to make a tough call there.
Well, it's our job to provide depth and provide competition. And, you know, Connor Ingram had a really good training camp, and that was obviously reflected by the fact that we lost him on waivers to Arizona yesterday. But we wanted to make sure. I mean, Lankin, we know from a distance, if you will, from past years, and specifically Chicago, but we wanted to create competition at training camp. And we felt, you know, pretty much fair and square that Lankin and outplayed Ingram, not by a lot, but a little bit better, and we were comfortable with that decision. And as you said, there's some really good symmetry or chemistry with our team. Saros and Lankin are both from Finland. They're both the same age. They both grew up together playing against each other all the time. So I think the relationship is really good, and he's a young guy on the way up. His best years are ahead of him. So so far, so good.
Well, David, we're looking forward to these weekly chats with you. I know you're loving the start that your team has had, but best of luck against Dallas on Thursday. We'll see you at Bridgestone.
Okay, guys, good talking to you. We'll see you on Thursday night. Appreciate it.
There you go. Predators General Manager David Poile, his first of his weekly visits. And, again, something that you will not want to miss every Tuesday at 11:15. Here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, as we enjoy his honesty, and he's always very straightforward when it comes to talking about his hockey team. And I will ask that question. Do we feel like that this is finally, this roster is built for head coach John Hines. I thought he gave a great answer there. We'll discuss that coming up next. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. It is my official sports book, and I love how easy it is to use. There's no fancy computer algorithms. There's no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business right there behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, they feature some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. Looking ahead to the NFL coming up this week, Thursday night, you got the Commanders that just came or that the Titans just beat taking on the Bears. It's a pick 'em right now. I lean towards the Bears. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Yeah, I do. I think we and he have come a long way from when he took over from Peter Laviolette over 3 years ago now. Just, you know, the team was a good team, but, you know, we had some, my words would be a little bit of an underperforming situation in certain areas, and we needed to make a couple of changes. And I think over the past two seasons, we've done that. I think his relationships with the players are terrific. I think his messaging and how we want to play has been bang on, and we all saw that last year when not too many people gave us much of a chance to, you know, be a competitive team. And I think we've just grown from there. We had, you know, together we had goals for our staff and hockey ops, and I think we identified what we wanted to do. And for the most part, I think we've been successful there. We changed our second goalie to Kevin Lankinen, and we're happy with him. And he got his first win against San Jose in Prague. On defense, we were very fortunate that, you know, Tampa Bay had some issues in terms of their salary cap, and that we were able to get Ryan McGinn. That was on your wish list, but to actually get a top four defenseman and not pay, you know, too high of a price, I think that's really changed our team in a huge way. And then, of course, we were looking to improve our scoring, and specifically on our second line. And, you know, Nita Ryder was there and available to us, and we got that done. And everybody knows Roman Josi is one of his best friends. We know that Joey and he played hockey together in junior hockey, and after two games, he's got three goals. So what a great start there.
There you go. David Poile, Predators general manager, joining us in the last segment. When asked, does he feel like this roster is finally complete for head coach John Hines? Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Look, we've talked about it going into the season, that I like the moves that they made. I love the Nino Niederreiter signing. I've liked him as a player for a long time. He's one of those guys that if you're playing against him and he's not on your team, he's a pest. But if you have him, you're going, heck yeah, he's on my team. And I think he's shown it through two games what he can do. I mean, look, he had a good preseason too. Do I think he's going to be a goal per game player? No. I mean, we know
it'd be great if he could.
It'd be great, but we know that that's not how it works usually. But he's been good. Ryan McDonough has been a great acquisition to help with the defense. And then some of the other depth pieces, Kevin Lankinen is the backup that, Willie, you asked about. So I feel like a lot of these players, with going with the ones that have been here for a long time, and now with some of the new pieces, fit the persona and the identity that John Hines wants to have.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I like about David, that I've come to like about David, at least watching from afar, is that you have owners, whatever sport you're in, and I wrote down three, and obviously I always defer back to the NFL. But Al Davis, Jerry Jones, the late great Al Davis, Jerry Jones, Jim Irsay, those owners / GMs, what they want to be, whatever they classify themselves as, especially Jerry Jones, sometimes they look at their team and they say, this is what I want the team to be. I, regardless of who I hire as a coach or a GM, this is how I want the team to look. And a lot of times it doesn't work out that way, because sure, then the coach can't coach, you know, what you want the team to look like. I think David is listen, I've been in this game long enough to understand that we're only going to win is if I help put, you know, the players on the ice that the coach wants, that fits the coach's personality, regardless of my personality or what I may want. But what is going to help the coach win? I need to get him what he needs. I need to make this team up how he sees it, not how I see it or someone else sees it, because he and his coaching staff, they are around these players more than we ever will be, and he's coaching these guys. That's one thing I do appreciate about David. It's like, listen, if John wants these players, this is what I'm going to get him, mm-hmm. and let it go from there.
Yeah, and I think McDonough is a good example. I think they could have gone a different route and gone for more flash. You know, there was a lot of guys out there, but I think they really thought that as much as they needed to address the second line, which they did with Niederreiter, that the number one priority might have been to get another veteran top four guy. And they didn't know who it was going to be, and then all of a sudden, boom, the phone rings, and you have a chance to get a special player like Ryan McDonough. The only question of McDonough was he's got 4 years left on his contract and he's 33. But right now, he looks, knock on wood, you know, they had the insight of having Todd Richards there, who had been with him in Tampa, to know the person and know the makeup. And they feel confident that for the next few years, he's going to be able to stay at that level. And so far, so good. So, look, they beat the Sharks twice. The Sharks are not a good team. The Sharks are a team that probably need to break it down. And they have a brand new GM. They didn't hire Mike Greer until way, way deep into the summer. And he hasn't even had a chance, really, to address the roster. And they've got a ton. You think the Predators have some contracts? Remember how many times we were talking about, what about this contract for the 8-year deal? Look at the Sharks. They've got some major, major contracts that are albatrosses right now, which will make Mike Greer's job very tough. And so the Predators should be better than the Sharks, and they showed that they were. So far, so good. Now you've got two games against the Stars. That's a whole different story, right? That's another benchmark, and there's going to be a long journey ahead. It's going to be ups and downs for Niederreiter. There's going to be ups and downs for McDonough. You just hope that overall, over the long haul, you close the gap on the elite teams. Is this an elite roster right now? Probably not. But I think they have improved with the firepower, the weapons, to be a much better team than they were last year. That's the goal right now. But part of it is the communication. I do think, to your point, Derek, that the communication between the hockey ops and the scouts and the coaching staff has been built over time. Just like John Hines has taken a lot of time, kind of like Barry Trotz. I think he's much more like Barry Trotz than people realize in getting to know the personalities, getting to know what makes people tick, you know, and how to have great communication where you have a real relationship there. And that was one thing. You know, Peter Laviolette has a lot of big strengths, but that was not a big strength of his, right? He was more all business, I'm coaching. You know, he wasn't really getting close and building relationships with everybody. I think John Hines has done a lot of groundwork for that, and hopefully you'll see the fruits of it this year.
Yeah, and look, I think that they're just getting started. I mean, it. You know, I made this comment to you off the air that I feel like it was a bit of an easier transition to go from a Barry Trotz-type team to a Peter Laviolette-type team. You know, you make the trade to get James Neal in here, who's more speedy, skilled. You eventually go to PK Subban, who kind of fit that. But when you're going back to a little bit more of grit, which I think is John Hines' style, is kind of the hybrid style, you know, those players don't all grow on trees. I mean, you have to find the ones that are going to fit with, you know, the big contracts that you have with the guys that you want. Matt Duchene was one that I think he took longer than anybody anticipated to kind of grow into what he is right now, and you hope that he's going to be able to continue what he did last year. Forsberg is Forsberg, but I believe that it's taken some time. You know, am I ready to say that this team's going to go compete with Colorado and win the Stanley Cup? Not quite yet, but do I think that I feel like if they stay healthy and things keep panning out the way that they appear, do I think they're a playoff team? Absolutely. So I think they're right there in the conversation with the top three in the division, and that just shows you what a couple of pieces here and there will do.
Sure. And so what did you guys think about what he said about Tomasino?
Well, let's discuss that coming up next, because I thought those comments were interesting and pretty much spot on with what we thought. But we'll continue that conversation coming up next. Tim Hasselbeck at the top of the hour as well. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game.
You know, we saw glimpses of that last year. We put him in position as a young player to play in our team, mostly on the fourth line. You got a little bit of power play time. You got a little bit of time moving up in the lineup. This year we had hoped that he would be ready to take on a more of a prime time role, but it just didn't work out that way. I would think that if I'm looking at our forward prospects, you know, Phillip is right there at the top of being, you know, one of our best guys, and we need him to develop. And I don't think, well, I know this, we just didn't have the opportunity to put him in the lineup at a high place right now based on how other players were playing, and a little bit you have to take responsibility for how he was playing. The training camp was so short. We talked about to our players about this at the beginning. It was not fair. We didn't give everybody a lot of opportunities. And so, again, we try to make our decisions on merit, and you try to, you know, work with every player. But I really feel in the long run, when we look back at this, if Phil gets down there and play top minutes in Milwaukee and play power play, I'm assuming strongly that he's going to be very productive. And we're going to need him. I mean, I've never had a year here where we, you know, didn't have anything, you know, go wrong in terms of injuries, good play, bad play, all those situations. So let's hope he gets down there and gets really going, what have you. And again, I'm sure there's going to be an opportunity. I'm sure there's going to be changes. But, I mean, if we're going to be successful, we need Phil Tomasino to be a top six forward.
Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Predators general manager David Poile discussing Phillip Tomasino, what's next for him? Again, if you missed that interview, you can go to thegamenashville.com or get it wherever you get podcasts. We'll get that up here momentarily. But look, I think, you know, he knew that obviously we were going to bring that up, and a lot has gone into Phil Tomasino. I don't believe they have given up on Phillip Tomasino by any means. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. You know, you called it a calculated demotion, and I think that's an interesting way to put it. But, Willie, there's one piece that we haven't brought up yet to all of this that I think is going to be key for Phillip Tomasino, and that's the head coach in Milwaukee.
Yes, I think if you take a look at what Carl Taylor has done since he's been at Milwaukee, he has a very good track record of helping players who get into this situation. Now, imagine if you're Phil Tomasino. You have to be crushed that you get this news. He came in with full expectation of jumping in there, grabbing the second line right wing spot and running with it, right? That was his goal. It's been his goal all offseason. And as David Poile pointed out, it's a little bit unfair because he had, what was the number? If you watch Behind the Glass, I think John Hines said 15 practices.
Yeah,
15 practices. And what did Tomasino play? Two or three preseason games? That's a tiny sample size for everybody to determine, are you ready for that? But at the same time, you have to have a competition. That was the competition. And you heard David Poile say it's merit-based. And he didn't earn the job right now. So he goes to Milwaukee. Here's Carl Taylor's role. And if you watch Behind the Glass, he's already started the process with Igor Afanasyev, right? He said, look, I'm going to throw a lot at you. Be ready for it. He went through it last year with Afanasyev, but also maybe more importantly with Cody Glass. And this is where those guys really earn their stripes as coaches. And someday, I think it will because John Hines was one of these guys. He was at Scranton Wilkes-Barre once upon a time. How you do in those situations goes a long way to determining whether you're going to be an NHL coach someday. But Carl Taylor, I think, has a very good game plan, a very good blueprint on how to get those guys back up to the NHL level. You see, we talked to Rick Sweet. That's his job with the Nashville Sounds, get guys ready to go up and contribute at the Major League level. But the first thing you got to do is you got to get the guy's mind right.
Yeah.
Right? You got to get to Phil Tomasino and say, I know you're down. Right? I get it. You're crushed. You thought you were going to be on the Predators. You were on the Predators all last year. Mm-hmm. You thought you had made it. Here you are. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the story. Not necessarily that, and I called it a calculated demotion, meaning, you know, he could have put him back on the fourth line, and no one would have said much of anything. They probably would have said something at the beginning, but he's on the roster. He would have been playing on the fourth line, and they would have left it as that. But I don't think that would have helped him get better as a player. And David knew that. I think John knew that as well. We're going to send this kid to Milwaukee and see how he reacts. You know, it should light a fire underneath him to say, you know, listen, I'm not in agreement with this, so I'm going to work my tail off when I get to Milwaukee so I can – so I spend the least amount of time as possible in Milwaukee. And then that's where the head coach comes in. Like you said, Willie, it's, okay, you're here now. What are you going to do? You can't be upset. It's done. You know, now what you need to do is make the best out of this situation. And the best out of the situation, meaning you don't need to be here long. You need to play your tail off so you're not here long.
And I need to tell you what responsibilities I need from you before you go back up there. Because remember, if you look at Phil Tomasino, if we put together a highlight film of him last year, it'd be a lot of highlights.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He makes plays. But what is missing from his game right now is the all-around game. And that's where Cody Glass grew a lot in Milwaukee last year. And hopefully, you'll see some dividends of that this year. There's some good signs. Cody Glass is killing penalties. He's on the second power play unit. Hopefully he will help them win, because there's a lot of things that you do to help a team win besides how many goals, how many assists, how many highlight plays you have. Mm-hmm. Phil Tomasino's got the highlight ability, but it's that the layers to the game that Carl Taylor is going to work with him on, that's how you stick as a second-line guy. And I want to say this one other thing, because I see some people on Twitter reacting with, you know, and I understand. There's passionate fans. They want to see Tomasino succeed. They've been thinking all along that this is going to happen. And there's like the notion of somehow David Poile doesn't want Tomasino to succeed. It makes zero. There's no logic in that. Think about that. You don't want your first round pick to make it as a top six forward. That makes no sense at all. It's only, how do I get him there? What's the best thing for him right now for me to get him to that spot where he can succeed? So if you think John Tynes and David Poile like punishing him, or he's in the doghouse. No. There's nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, it would be, if they didn't care, they would have just kept him on that line and watch him just fall apart.
Right.
You know, if they wanted to sabotage him, leave him on that line and let him fall apart, and then they would be justified at whatever they did, you know, as a organization. But this is not the route that David and the staff want to go. They want to see this kid succeed. So in succeeding, we're going to put him in Milwaukee. And hopefully, you know, that lights a fire underneath him so he can then be back, you know, with us sooner, you know, rather than later.
He said, remember how long this season is? He said, we are
long
hoping
season.
To play 100 or more games. And he said, we need Phil Tomasino. We're going to need him. So this is just the step one here. It's a marathon.
Turning my losses into lessons. That's what my shirt says. It's
from there you go.
My old roommate, Sean.
I like that.
You know, so he gave me the shirt.
Perfect.
So. I like
lesson
that.
Of the day.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, we'll shift gears. We'll get back into the NFL and talk to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, get his thoughts on the Titans' win over the Commanders and also the rest of the league. We'll do that next. But first, Willie's going to tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000. Let's talk general maintenance today. You might be driving around. You're heading back to work. Maybe you're at your office right now and you're thinking, I got a maintenance problem right now. I got something that has to be fixed and we've been putting this off. Well, I've got it right here. Call Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Boom. They're on this problem. Same thing if you just want to jump on your computer and make an online appointment. You can do that at Lee Company by going just to the website, leecompany.com, simple to remember. They've got general maintenance at work as well as home. Obviously, at home, You got issues with windows, doors, floors, general maintenance. Lee Company's got that department. They're very versatile. They do a lot of stuff. I tell you about the home maintenance plan all the time. They're bread and butter, heating, cooling, plumbing, electric. All of that is under their umbrella as well. It's Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.